Hello. I just I had a few things happening this week, and I really wanted to give testimony of it. And one of the things where it started was that I needed to have my brother came, had a hernia operation. So I went and checked myself out, and the doctor said, yes, I had an umbilical hernia. So, you know, being the believer that I am, wondering why I'm not actually the one just laying the hands on myself and being healed, I just, you know, said, Lord, I'm just going to give this to you, because obviously you have other plans. You have plans for other people to know you. And maybe other people wouldn't go to these places unless we had something going on. So that number one is right there, so let's not forget that. On the way going to the doctors, I said, Lord, okay, I'm going. So this is what I'm doing. And I'm asking you to send a team of angels in the operating room with me. And I want an overhaul on my body. And not only do I want that, but when I come out, I want to be a testimony unto you. I want that every day I have so much strength, and every day I have a testimony to give. Well, from day one, I walked out, and my mom, who was watching me for the next 3 days to make sure I stayed down, my mom said, Dawn, you need to sit down. You're not sitting. You just got this done. I said, I feel great. I feel great. You need to sit down. So I'd be, okay, Mom, like, okay. Day two, same thing, better and better. Then I had to go into the doctor's office. And I'm walking into the doctor's office, and I had to go to the ladies' room right away. So I was like, hey, guys, I'll be right with you. And the one nurse practitioner that was in there with me and the woman, they looked at me and they went, seriously? Like, they couldn't even believe it. They couldn't even believe it. Then when the doctor looked at me, he went, did you get a picture of this? I mean, because that's how magnificent, and walking and everything. He just couldn't even believe it, okay? So there was that testimony, which was huge. Okay, so here's another testimony. It's something really big. It's really important. My aunt had been asking me to pray for this 16-year-old boy who was a only boy and only grandson who went to Mexico as a soccer. He was playing soccer. And they asked him to go to Mexico. While he was there, he got this horrible disease of everything. Everything came upon him. Everything you could think of. And I was like, really? Well, we know where that's coming from. So my mom and I began to pray on this for a while. Well, all of a sudden, my aunt calls me while I'm at my mom's house, and she says, the boy died. So right away, I started to pray for the family, because I know that the family needs to have, you know, Jesus all over them, because this is horrific. This can't happen. This is horrific. So we start praying. And while I'm praying, I start praying that this boy get raised from the dead. I mean, literally, it just was pouring out of me. I couldn't stop it. And at first I thought, while I'm saying this, I'm like, my mom's going to think I'm nuts. But I just continued and continued and continued, and I was gone, okay? Well, that was at 10:30 at night. At 7 o'clock in the morning, my aunt calls me. She's beside herself and cannot believe that this boy opened his eyes, okay? And I was like, whoa, hallelujah, I'm jumping through, whoa. My mom's going, you need to relax, hey, man. I was like all over the place, okay, couldn't contain me. Okay, well, then what happens? He's got his eyes open, he's breathing, stuff like that. They decide they're taking his feeding tube out. They decide they're taking away everything so that he can die. My aunt calls me up. She goes, oh, well, he's really dead now. I said, no, he's not. He's not. You're giving up on, you're letting him, you saw the miracle, and now they're letting him go. And I'm just telling you, that's really what's going on right here, right now. Okay? Okay, last testimony. Yesterday, we were supposed to have this big, huge event on the streets, on Dearborn Street, right? So in comes the rain. It's ruining everything, right? Oh, Lord, I pray this rain stop. And I'm praying, and it's coming. And I'm still standing on the word and saying, you said whatever we ask, it's given unto us. So I'm asking for this rain to stop. So then I text one of the bigwigs that is running the whole show. And I said, okay, who here is not commanding that rain to stop in the name of Jesus? And he says, I'm doing it right now. And I wrote, I agree. Then I grabbed my guitar and I started to thank the Lord and worship the Lord about the rain completely stopping. And I said, you know what, Lord? I need no rain till 11 o'clock or a little after that. That would be fine, you know, so they can collect up their things. Well, what did they wind up doing? We prayed for it. We got it. And then they canceled the show. And it didn't rain all day. They could have done it. Okay? But it was because they didn't, they prayed. They didn't receive it. And I said, absolutely not, Lord. I said, Father, you know what? Now you need to show them who you are. You need to show them that what we ask, it is given. And just because it was their disbelief or thinking that it couldn't happen because they saw another storm that was going to ride up against it, I said, no, we prayed against it. But, you know, because they were fearful, and they wound up losing over $5,000 on this show because they didn't act. So here's what I'm saying to you, okay? Two things that could have been the way it should be. Okay, two things the way it should have been. Don't give up, guys. Stand on the word. It's not your word. It's his word. He said it. He's God Almighty. He's the one doing it. We need to stand for the King of Kings, learn who he is, and speak forth exactly how we want it. You know, the Lord showed me about, I don't know, two or three weeks ago, ask me whatever you want. And I've seen that before, but this time, I really saw it. So I've been getting a bit more bolder. And now that I'm getting a bit more bolder, I'm sharing that with you, because if it's me, it's for you. It's for all of you. Okay? So, please. Please. Amen.
Hang on, buddy. The lady is loose. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I could do as good as her. I should just let her take the show here. Oh, God. Thank you, God. That's what we could do. Talked about that last week, right? Amen. Yes, sir. Oh, really? Wow. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He's responsible for his word. We're not responsible for it. We have nothing to lose. Everything to gain in him. Hey, Don, you look like a different guy today. I just want to... He's doing good. He looks great. How was your week? Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God. So, the new covenant is good news. In the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we are a body of citizens from heaven. And that's powerful. The devil's afraid of that. When we stick together, when we hang together, when we testify together, when we believe together, you get kingdom results. Guy has a new heart, kingdom results. God used man to repair things and put things in line, but God still healed him and has a plan and a purpose for his life. And he doesn't miss church, even though he had a triple bypass surgery 2 weeks ago. He's sitting in his place, his rightful place, because he knows without God he could do nothing. He'd be toast by now. And so you're a good witness and testimony, you and your wife, standing in the Lord and testifying. That honors God, and God honors you. Hallelujah. So we thank you for that. Thank you for that testimony. I remember praying for Melody's son. He was in the hospital. And they said there was no hope for him. And we prayed, and we stood, and we prayed. And he hardlined, and we prayed, and we stood. And his heart started back on track. And they were saying, his vital signs are perfect. That's right. We believe in Jesus. And so we go take a break and have a lunch at the most crucial point. And we come back, he's dead. I was devastated. I went home and I didn't know what to believe anymore. And Pastor Tony and another gentleman, 3 a.m, knocked on my door. They were trying to get the dog to wake me up because they knew I took it hard. Talked about it, and we prayed about it, and we came from underneath the condemnation, and we learned from it, and we were back on the same page. But I know what the enemy could do through unbelief, through just complacency. And so we thank you, Lord, for showing us your will, because we learned last week that we walked away from the grave. The grave no longer has a hold on us. When you can see things from Jesus' perspective and not from in the grave, every possibility of the kingdom is released into your life through your voice and through the Word of God coming through your voice. That's what you were struggling with this week, learning how to use His voice. Not your old voice that you used to use, but your new person in Christ Jesus using His voice in every given situation of your life. You're going to learn that on a day-by-day basis for the next year to come, and watch what happens. You're a world changer right now. You just have to be told that. That's what we're going to teach you, how to be a world changer, to impact the world. We don't just impact our own lives and pray over ourselves and have warm fuzzies with God. We're world changers. We have a kingdom perspective to change the world. And that's what God's been teaching us over the last 20-some-odd years that this assembly has been in order in the Lord. And you're a world changer. He's opened your eyes to see you speaking to the world. You could speak to the world from your own living room and change things, change events. Whatever He shows you to do, you're tuned into Him. You're one with Him. So now everything has changed and become new, and the potential that you have to change the world and to be Jesus to a world that needs Him, that's what we do. Our role changes. Just like Caitlin's life has changed, her role has changed, she's going to learn to be a world changer. God works in marvelous ways, mysterious ways to those who don't believe, but reality ways to those who do believe. He reveals His mysteries. He gives us His heart and mind. He's not hard to figure out and try to find. He's the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's right in us and with us and through us and all about us, and we're all about Him. So we're going to talk about the radical change. because you're going to see a radical change when you become born again. Out of the old covenant, into the new covenant, into the simplicity of the gospel, where when Adam walked with God in Genesis, everything was done for him. He worked with God. He was a helper of God, and everything was perfect for him. Everything was done for him. And the second Adam, Jesus, took back the ground that the enemy stole from the first Adam and has given the church the keys to bring his kingdom here on earth. Only a born-again believer can use his keys. You can't be a religious person and use his keys because you don't even know where to find the key. You're not in a position to receive it when you're in control of your life. You're not going to get the keys. And so you live a frustrated life, and frustrated people make others frustrated. Hurt people hurt others. And that's why religion hurts people. That's why religion doesn't accomplish anything except self-will and self-motivation and deception. And so you just can't add Jesus to your life. You just can't go along and add Jesus to your life and then control your life and take him off the shelf when you need him and then put him back on when he comes to your assistance, because he'll assist non-believers. He loves non-believers just as much as he loves believers. He's trying to reveal himself continuously to the world because their eyes have been blinded by the enemy. And so we have power to loose eyes. We have power to loose hearts. If you're worried about your children, don't get in their face. Loose their heart for Jesus. Loose their mind for Jesus. You have the power to do that. You have the power to see kingdom results in everybody's life. I continue to loose eyes in my family, loose hearts to receive the simplicity of the gospel so they can walk in the freedom that Christ paid for. I'm not going to get in their face. Well, if I have to, you know, be stern, sometimes I'm stern, but I don't get in their face and demand anything from anybody. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, you know, his love is more than getting in your face. Well, you got to walk in him. You know, it's all about him. It's a oneness. You could know a tree by its fruit. You know a tree by its fruit. And so if you hang around somebody long enough, or vice versa, they're either going to see the kingdom of heaven released, or they're going to see a bunch of rules and regs. And we don't want to deny the power of the Lord, because he has great and mighty things to do in the earth, and he wants to use us. A handful just like us can change the world. We're doing it. We're impacting the world. I remember when God called us to the mission field. We went to Mexico first. And I was so gung-ho. I was so excited. I wanted to go so bad. I gave my house away. I left the family business. I just gave everything away. And I left and went. And everything blew up. But God was testing my heart to see if I would go. He wanted to see if material things would control me and stop me from going. And I wasn't going to let any of that happen in Jesus' name. I might have been way ahead of God, but what he did in my life through surrender and through giving everything away is vital for how I see the kingdom and how I minister today, 23 years ago. It had to all go. And I was successful. It had to all go. And we were going to live there. And it ended up that a couple of my children got sick to the point of death. And I sent my family back home. And I stayed there. And I came back. And we were homeless. We had nowhere to go, nowhere to... I had my Suburban and a couple things, and My wife and children, we had nowhere to stay, nowhere to go. Family members turned their backs on us, said we were nuts, didn't want to deal with us. And so God worked it all out. He worked it all out. I saw him step by step. When you put yourself out on a limb like that, you see God. He comes to your aid. He comes and rises up within you and shows you what to say, shows you how to handle things in diverse situations to the point where you're thinking just like he. You have no other choice but to think the way he thinks and allow him to do what he wants to do in your life and put you where he wants to put you, because you have no more control. And that's a born-again believer. You give up, rightfully give up control, and you come out of the grave, resurrected with Christ Jesus, alive in him. He ascended into heaven. We ascended into heaven with him, and now we're seated at the right hand of the Father, just like Jesus is, ruling and reigning with him over all sickness, over all illness, over all disease, over all hardships, not only in our own life, but we stand in a gap for everyone around us. You'll find yourself praying for people at Walmart. You'll overhear situations and circumstances. God will put you into places that only through him you can get out of them. And see, we try to fight him. We try to fight the living God when he allows and puts us into positions that we can't manage, we can't figure it out, we can't do anything on our own. Now Jesus takes over when we lean and we press into him and we allow him to take over. He's given us a ministry of reconciliation. He's reconciled the world to himself, and he's given us power to forgive sins, to heal all kinds of diseases. And we have a mantle to reconcile lost hearts back to Jesus through our words and through the position and the authority he's given us. You might look at your condition and say, well, what am I going to do? My health isn't what it used to be. I can't do the things I used to do. My children are going haywire. I've tried so hard. You are a world changer. You cannot allow the conditions around you to change who God's created you to be. Through your weakness, you are more powerful than you've ever been in your life, because you can't do it on your own anymore. You have to depend on him. So we cannot lose sight of the call that's on your life to be a world changer, to reconcile lives to Jesus, to stand in the gap for all those people that God has put in your life. You're a very important part of God's kingdom here on earth because of what he's shown you, what he's already done in your life, and the power and the authority that he's given you. It's not about Cindy anymore. It's not about Gene. It's not about anybody, any one of us. So wherever we find ourselves, you didn't choose the situations and circumstances that arise in your life, that have arose in your life. But in Christ Jesus, you're more powerful than you ever could dream, think, or imagine that you could be right now in your life. But just open your eyes and look around. You'll watch and speak what God shows you to speak. Born again in him. Born from above. Reckless love coming out of each one of us. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Luke 6, please. We have the gospel, good news, good message, good tidings of the kingdom right at our lips, right on the tip of our tongue, right in our belief system. Our belief system is a megaphone to release the kingdom of heaven into every given situation of our lives. Hallelujah. And we cannot be discouraged by the timing of God. We cannot be discouraged. I cannot be discouraged that my wife left me thinking that everything was just too much and was too dysfunctional to stop me from standing and believing that God is going to reconcile us back together, because he's given us a ministry of reconciliation. I cannot give up. I cannot stop pursuing and pressing into God, believing whether the other one's believing or not. It has nothing to do with my walk with God. And still loving unconditionally. Still loving unconditionally, even though our children hurt us. Still loving unconditionally. Did we ever hurt Jesus? He still pursued us, loved us unconditionally while we were still sinners. Well, we're not sinners anymore in his eyes when you're born again. And the world isn't even sinners in his eyes, because he paid the price in full. So we can't look at other people as sinners anymore. If we're looking at other people as sinners, we are blocking the ministry of reconciliation and the power and the authority that God has given us to change lives for him. He abolished sin. Sin should be abolished in our lives. We cannot look at anybody else and see sin. We might see shortcomings, but that's when we step in and we fill the gap as Christ Jesus. And then, guess what? People will be drawn to you, not run away from you. Hallelujah. Let's look at Luke 6. So when I went to Mexico, little did I know that I was going to only be there a short time, but I, through my witness, showed those Mexicans, because they knew where I lived. They knew that, you know, I had a family business, that I had some money, and that, you know, I had a position, that I left everything to live the way they lived, to suffer the way they were suffering, to sweat and work the way they were working, and never judge them, never criticize them. And they, when I ended up coming back to Florida, they all came. They all left Mexico and came back to Florida. So all the Mexicans that I was going to minister to in Mexico ended up moving to Florida. And I ended up being, they ended up working for me. So I was able to be used by God to save multitudes of the Mexican men and women and their families. Marry some of them. God knows what he's doing. He just wanted to see, is this guy willing? Is he all cracked up to be what he says he is? Is he going to put the rubber to the road when times get tough and follow through regardless if he loses everything? That's what we do. Devil's afraid of those kind of men and women and children. Hallelujah. Luke 6, 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. A born-again believer doesn't trust in his own heart, doesn't lean on his own understanding, but acknowledges God in all his ways, and God directs his path. So we have to take our heartstrings out of the way, especially in marriage. You have to take your heartstrings out of the way and allow the love of Jesus through the resurrection power of his spirit living inside of you to be the barometer of your feelings and emotions. It has nothing to do with what the other person does anymore. It's all about how you respond to how Jesus feels towards that person. You can do that when you're born again. you can have that kind of love when you're born again. You can endure when you're born again, allowing His love to be your heartbeat now, and to minimizing how much that you control things through your five senses. Because we do need our five senses in some areas of our lives, but not when we, our daily walk with God, we have to continue to surrender to Him. We have to have that balance in the name of Jesus. Let's look at 646. Build your life on the rock. But why do they call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug a deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Who dug deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built his house on the earth without a foundation. And it fell and it ruined. And the ruin was great. And so a born-again believer is not going to allow situations and circumstances to keep him down or her down, because our foundation is built on the rock, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord, that your gospel is rich and plentiful and full of life from your kingdom, and it is good news, and we've been called to preach it. The gospel, one of the definitions of it is to preach. Do you see yourselves preaching? Do you preach? I preach to myself. I have so many messages that God gives me that I just preach to myself. Are you getting messages to preach? Because if you're born again and you got that gospel power and the Holy Ghost living inside of you, you got to let that thing out. You cannot, you got to let him out. You cannot hold back the good news if you're born again. If you're born from above, what's happening above in heaven inside of you has to come out, because God gives you multiple opportunities to share that life with others. This lady wants to, she'd be up here more than me if I let her. I might just fade out and let you take over. Yeah, sure. Well, you are. Yeah, it's the enemy, yeah. Yeah, religion, yeah. Well, that's how you're held back. But no more. Yeah, no more. Well, you have to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, because you can't shove it down somebody's throat. Yeah, that's good. Well, he was in a humble place. Some people aren't in a humble place to receive. Well, you have to turn to the Holy Ghost because He's in control of your life. Okay. Okay. Well, if you take a bullet for Jesus, you did your job. Margo's good too. She's. Amen. I think I might rather have Margo come after me than you, though. No, you're good. I love you. You know that. You're bold. You're bold. You know I love you. I'm only messing with you. Hallelujah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, bring me up a couple notches. Thank you, Lord. So, you know, this gospel message is to be declared. It can't be held in. It's just not business as usual to get caught up in the busyness of your day. And I get caught up in the busyness of the day. We cannot lose sight of why Jesus has us, where He has us, and why He has us there. And those who are around us. Because we are a nation-changing church. The nations have been given to us by God. And every one of us are accountable because we hear the testimonies of what is happening in other nations. And God has entrusted that gospel message to us. So everything in our life has to line up with the ability to go in an instant. We can't be held back by stuff. Another call on my life, I had a God call me to Georgia. But I had two properties. One at the time was worth $795,000. The other one was worth over $1 million. And I had to get to where I was going, and these properties were in the way. So I just let a lady in Bradenton that had a homeless ministry, I said, listen, just take the house over, use it for your ministry. We'll trust God to pay for it. I don't know how He's going to do it, but I know He's going to do it. And the other one, I took the key, I put it in a mailbox, and I put a sign for sale and my phone number on it, and I went. I left both of the properties. I couldn't let those properties hold me back. I needed the money. I needed the money for ministry. I needed the money for my family. But I had to be somewhere, and these properties were stopping me from getting to where I knew God was calling me to be. So I left them go. They both went into foreclosure. Is that a good steward? In man's eyes, is that a good steward? In the last second, 11:59, I kept standing, believing, declaring, proclaiming. I wasn't going to let any devil steal anything from me because I knew that I was in the perfect will of God. Some guy calls me up on the phone, hey, I like your property. How much are you asking for? Bop, 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 bop. Or first he said, well, how do I get in? I said, the key's in the mailbox. Take a look at it, and if you like it, let me know. He liked it, made me an offer. We closed on it in 2 weeks. It was a cash deal. The bank said, just let me know that it's a real deal. Send me the contract, and I won't foreclose on it. So that's what I sold him. I did, and the house didn't foreclose. It sold at the last minute, and God gets the glory. The other house got bought by this ministry. I pushed it right to the limit. And I learned a lot through letting things go. I learned a lot because I didn't have the capital. I needed capital. I needed to make things happen in Jesus' name because He called me to difficult ministries. And praise God for that. It's all based on his death. I was crucified with him. You're crucified with him. Buried with him. Raised from the dead. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ, which is an eternal power. An ascension into heaven when he rose from the Mount of Olives and went into heaven. All authority in heaven and on earth and under the earth was given to him. And the same way, the same blueprint we follow, and the same power, authority, and ruling power with him from in heaven has been given to us to rule and reign. That's why we can go to the nations and see miracles. Miracles are normal for God. Miracles are raising that guy from the dead's normal to God. And when the enemy came in and stole what you were excited about, that you were mad. No, it's not brain dead. But that doesn't deter us. We saw a glimpse of what God really wants to do, and the whole body heard that testimony. And that's what we do. We stand in Jesus' name to allow his kingdom to manifest in every given situation of our lives. I remember having zero money in a checking account 1 week, and the following week I had $149,500 in the checking account that just happened to be someone gave it to me. God knew I wasn't turning to anybody else. I wasn't asking anybody for anything. I was standing, continuing to move forward, and all of a sudden, this manifestation of God will follow you. Will fill your treasuries if you take it to the limit. And it's not an easy thing. I'm not saying it's easy. But the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that you gain for your future, because our voice and our words are the building blocks for us to release life into our life and future or death. So we have to be able to have the wisdom and the staying power and the quietness of our own life to be able to get God's heart and mind to the point where it becomes our own. Because we don't let the busyness of this world press in and steal what rightfully belongs to us in Christ Jesus. The relationship with Christ Jesus is the most important relationship that we can ever have. Because out of it, love is released for the world, for everyone around us, for Caitlin. Love is released for her. God cares about her. He's more concerned about her. And her needs are being met. God just makes things happen. He raises people up. And the love that Elizabeth has for Caitlin is phenomenal. His love. Glory be to God. I could feel it. Glory be to God. Let's turn to John 1, please. Yeah, there. Can you imagine Elizabeth rubbing off on that young girl, what she's going to be like? I know. That's what I'm waiting to see. Let's look at John 3, verse 1. I'm sorry, John 3. We're talking about the radical change of the being born from above. This gives us a in-depth version of God having dialogue, Jesus, with Nicodemus, a religious ruler of the Jews. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a governor and leader of the Judaism. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So if you're not born from above, you can't see the kingdom of God and you can't enter the kingdom of God. And so, therefore, this is a very serious and important part of our ministry to loose the heart and the mind and the eyes of all those around us. That's what took place last week. God loosed the heart and mind through the message to reveal the condition of some lives in here, and they responded through obedience, right? And so that's one of our most important ministries, the reconciliation, reconciling the world back to God through the simplicity of the gospel, through love, not through condemnation, not through pointing out people's faults, but revealing to him how good they are in God's eyes and how blessed and loved that they are. And so Jesus is, you know, being real and matter of fact, most assuredly, is a very direct instruction because it demands the full possession of one's attention. That's what assuredly means, demanding the full possession of one's attention. So that is very important to God that we bring that message, because in order to live the new life in Christ, we have to walk away from the grave. So how are people going to know that if we don't share that with them? They didn't choose to be born in that condition, but they can choose to come out of that condition based on our testimony. That's how important we are to this world. That's the most important position that we could take. When you get up in the morning, don't just say, oh, I got to do this again. Lord, I want the power to loose eyes, loose ears, loose hearts, the fellow that I'm working with. He's bounced around, was afraid of God through religion, and I've been working with him every day for 6 months. He didn't know what a right relationship was. He's living with his girlfriend and trying to take care of a children's ministry that they take and bring children into their home that are abused until they find parents for them. And he had no say in the matter because he was just a boyfriend, and they background checked him. They make him go through all this ridicule and this and that, and he wants to have more of a part in this ministry. And I just kept sharing the truth every day with him. Open his eyes, Lord. Open his heart. This is the way God thinks. This is what God desires for you. This is God's best for you. You want to hear God's best for you? Yeah, okay. I tell him. You want to hear more? Because he's a talker. You want to hear more? Yeah, okay. Just be quiet for a minute. Let me do the talking. We're driving now. You did your talking. Just listen now. Just like Jesus told Nicodemus. Most assuredly, I say to you, Chris, let me do the talking right now. And open up your heart to what God wants to show you. And now he's getting married in 2 weeks. He ran and got his marriage license this week on Tuesday. And August 2nd, he's getting married because he wants to honor God. He wants to honor his fiance. They got their rings. He wants to honor himself and the children that he's been asked to watch for God and by God. He wants to honor the church. And he's taken action based on the fact that Holy Spirit through me loosed his eyes and loosed his heart. His mind was confused. And loosed his mind to where he is so free right now. I can't wait till he gets behind one of these. And he allows the Holy Spirit to use him. My sister. Sister. Susan. Why? No, I didn't mean that in a negative way. I was just playing with you. Oh, I'm sorry. You are an awesome woman of God. I've seen you minister to people. I've seen you. You're at the food pantry. No, I was only messing with you. It's God's timing. It's his way. It's his voice. It's his loosing of the person that's in front of you. It's not all your words to try to loose them. It's him doing the work. It's him being previous in your life, preparing you to minister and to be an effective minister. Then you don't even have to worry about what people are going to think. Because you're tuned into him, and you're releasing what he's already showed you to release. So you can't go wrong that way. You shouldn't have to use a lot of words to explain the gospel. And I'm not saying you do. Okay. Well, the gospel isn't about Jeremiah. Okay. Well, I just want to let you know I didn't mean any harm by that. Well, I didn't mean to. I do pick on her a little bit, though, don't I? You know why? Because I love you. Yeah. He's breaking away the old nature from you, from all of us. He breaks that away. He uses even what I just said to make you think about things. And to open up your heart to what he wants. Hallelujah. And I wanted to encourage Margo too. You know? Yeah. I'm not going to pick him. Oh, gosh. See, this is a hot seat up here, guys. You get away. It's not easy up here. I just want to let you know, because you could put your foot in your mouth quick. Hallelujah. My head's getting hotter now. Is it getting redder? Oh my gosh. Thank you, Lord. So Nicodemus is really, his life is being turned upside down, not only by him being in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God, but seeing the testimonies, knowing that his religion falls way short, is not giving him any results. He's even sneaking at night to speak with Jesus because he doesn't want his comrades to see him talking to Jesus. Could mean his life, you know. And so that's how interested that Nicodemus was to find out about who this Jesus really is. And when he went to talk to him, this is what Jesus revealed to him. Most assuredly, demanding full possession of his attention. We have the authority to demand full possession of people's attention through love. That's how I got to my daughter's heart. She's a little bit on the wild side, you know, by nature. You know, God brought her into my house. God didn't bring me into her house. She was 2.5 years old, and all of a sudden, I have this little blonde-haired girl sucking her thumb, looking at me, calling me daddy, and I don't even know her. But it took a lot of years for her to open up and us to have conversation and her to get born again through the ministry here. Hallelujah. She's going to be up here soon. Because I'm loosing her heart and mind all the time in Christ Jesus. Well, I have her sister, too, that came into our house. We have the same power as Jesus Christ to loose minds. If you see sin in somebody's life, you have the power to forgive that person for their sins. In Christ's place. Because that person doesn't know to ask for forgiveness themselves. So we have the power to do that. It says it in the Bible. You want to see? John 20, 21. Think I'm kidding? Jesus breathed on the disciples. They were disciples 1 minute and apostles the next second after he breathed on them. Jesus, in John 20, 21, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He had erased their belief. He destroyed their unbelief when they saw that it was the Lord. Then they opened their heart to him. So Jesus said to them, again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So he gave them power to forgive sins. Didn't he? Yeah, right there. Sin blocks your view from God. So if we have the power to forgive that person of their sins that we see and loose their mind, the walls come down and now they're face to face with Jesus based on our belief and our words bringing life into their every given situation in their life. Like if my son is struggling and I know he's not open to what I have to say, I'll just forgive him for his sins. Lord, open his eyes and you show him. Or have him come to me and ask for some advice. And now I know I have a green light to speak whatever God lays in my heart to speak. I'm not chasing after people to minister to. We don't chase after people to minister to. We let God do an eternal work in our hearts. And then when he knows he could trust us with souls, then he brings them into our life. We don't have to go chasing him and telling everybody. Because I used to do that. I used to tell everybody about Jesus, beat them over the head with the Bible, and they're hiding from me. Wondering where'd everyone go? They didn't want to see me. I didn't make them feel good. So do it God's way. Do it God's way. Everything is about him, his way. Everything is about expectation in his love. When you are so baptized in him and become like him, because what you're baptized in, that's what you become. Then, the love of God and being one with God, it's automatic. You think the way he thinks. You have wisdom when you need wisdom. You have knowledge when you need knowledge. You have his understanding when you need understanding. You have his power when it has to be released. You have his comforting words when that person needs to be comforted. Everything is done for us. That's why we can loose nations and shape the world for Christ Jesus. It's all done by him and through him and for him, but it has to be in his will and way. You just can't add Jesus to your life and go tell people about Jesus because you're going to hit and miss. He's given us his title deed, his inheritance, that we should have the mindset to live through that understanding. That we were given his title deed, the spiritual reality of his kingdom, to draw near to him, to be in him and with him, to be made of the same substance. That's what born again means. You've been reborn in the substance of God. from the world where Jesus came from now lives inside of you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so everything that we have lives inside of us to check in with Him, to live in Him, to move in Him, to have our being in Him. Should we go? Should we stay? What do you want me to do today? What? All the things that we used to decide on our own comes out of Him now. So now we could have confidence in Him. We're His responsibility, so let Him be responsible. We can't handle the responsibilities and the pressures that this life brings on us. But He can. Through Christ Jesus, Caitlin is going to have every need met through Elizabeth's family, through the church. Everything's already done. Everything's already been accomplished and established. She's just stepping up to the plate and taking the place that God's called her to take. But her confidence isn't in herself. So that solidifies our belief system. And our trust and confidence now goes from uncertainty to total certainty in Him. You feel more confident, guy, that God has shown you His healing power and He's with you every step. You're sitting there, you have a smile on your face. You're a pretty quiet guy. You wouldn't say anything if it really wasn't powerful. And that's changed, though. Because do you see yourself up here, what I'm doing today? You ever see yourself doing that? I loose your mind. You can. I loose your mind today and your heart and your understanding to start getting visions and dreams of you doing just this right here. Because you have a lot to offer. What God has done in your life and your future is powerful in Him. And your wife as well. It's going to start happening. I used to write messages in the front of my, I think Haley has the Bible. Isn't there messages there? God used to get, I used to write them in the book just so when I knew I'd get up here, I'd have them. So we don't have to try to make anything happen. He's already done it. Right, Susan? Amen. I'm in your corner, you know. Good. That's powerful, yeah. Take your testimony and ask God to shorten it. No, pretty short. Yeah. Effective voice of God. Look at what Jesus did with Nicodemus. Two sentences. And blew the guy's mind. This guy, Nicodemus, doesn't want to hear about all this stuff. He already knows all this stuff. He just wants to, he wanted to hear something that would change his heart because he knew his heart wasn't right with the one true God. Two sentences. You can't keep someone's attention listening to you for a long time when there's a lot of words mixed in with his words. They have to be all his words. All of them. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord, that you are God. And we're not. But we are one with you. We represent you. And we willingly want you to take charge and show us exactly how you want us to act. Exactly how you want us to present ourselves. Because we have the power to bring life or death with our tongue. We have the power to loose nations. If President Trump would just speak your truth instead of all the rhetoric and trying to make all these deals, they would automatically happen. Because unless that person he's standing in front of, life isn't changed, their heart isn't changed into a love condition, then that guy could stab you in the back in a second. So we thank you for putting us in positions in government, in businesses and in the church, where we can speak your word with clarity and see kingdom results. In a moment's notice, just like Nicodemus when he spoke to Jesus, and Jesus turned his world upside down for the good. So we give you our full attention, Lord God, full possession of our attention. You want to say that to him today? I give you full possession of my attention. Because the devil has a lot of devices. You don't have to repeat his name. He has a lot of devices to get our attention. God's always speaking. That's why this world has got so busy, to try to keep us from hearing the voice of God and responding to it. So we thank you, Lord, for your fruitfulness, for your life flowing through us. We bless everyone here, Lord. Bless them abundantly. Let our testimonies grow and be powerful. Let us come together on a Sunday to worship you, to minister unto you, to share what you're doing in our lives, and to impact this world around us. In Jesus' name.